Blog Talk Radio.
You don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. My stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried. The things I've kept bottled up inside. Trying my best to be strong. Waiting on God and holding on.
Take for granted because people look like everything is okay and they're smart.
smiling and everything. But a lot of times we got to understand we don't know what a person's going through, and that's why our prayers are so important on a daily basis. That's why it's so important to not be judgmental. That's why it's so important to reach out to your brother, to reach out to your sister. You know, sometimes just ask. You know, they might be smiling and everything might be looking okay, but how you doing today, my sister? How you doing today, my brother? You know, I just want to bring the love of the Lord to you. I just want to have joy, have prayer. You know, sometimes we just have to come to our brothers and sisters, even though they seem okay. I'm sorry I'm starting to show off this way. It's just one. Sometimes I just want to, you know, remind you, like, I don't care if you're having such a bad day and things seem like they're just not going your way, and, you know, you're spilling things, you're forgetting things, you're dropping things. You know, just seeing one of them days like you just wish you could get back in the bed and start all over again. Understand that even in all that, God has a plan. Even in all that mishap, God has a plan. You know, we just had to grab hold to the Lord and trust in God and say, Father God, I don't understand what's going on, but because I trust you, I trust the outcome of what all this is about. Amen. I just feel like I just want to encourage somebody this evening. I just want someone to be encouraged. Understand that God loves you. He ain't went nowhere. He hasn't forgotten you. Every promise he ever made, he's going to keep. Everything that he said he's going to do because he is God, and he don't have to lie. He's not a man that he shall lie. So just be encouraged that even though the day went however it went, God is still in charge, and he loves us. Amen. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, and I'd like to ask everyone just to say thank you once again to everyone, all our listeners, all our supporters, all those who have been fellowshipping with us on a weekly basis. I just want to say thank you. You are appreciated. You are in our prayers. And we thank God for you. Amen. Glory to God. This has just been such a beautiful weekend. We had some sunny days. We had some rainy days. We had some cold days. But just look at the people that's having storms every day. You see how God mixed it up. And even in the mix, he blesses us. There are people having rainstorms and snowstorms and blizzards every day. Tearing up their homes, tearing up their cities. They can't get nowhere. You know, we got to be grateful that God, even though he gives us a little rain, he gives us a lot of sunshine. And even when it's all rain, he's in the midst and he's in control of it. Amen. Once again, I just want to say glory to your name, Father. And I'd like to take this time to pray. Father God, we thank you. We adore you. We praise you and glorify you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the blood that still works, that still magnifies, that still brings joy, that still brings pleasure, that still encourages. Thank you for the sacrifice, God. We are nothing without you. We love you, adore you. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for the schools. We pray for the leadership of this country and every other country. Touch the hearts of your leaders. Touch the minds of your leaders, Father. Let them make sound, godly decisions. Let them make sound doctrine decisions, God, not only here in America, but throughout the world. Let us unite and join as you plan for us to be all together, one unity, one family, under your supervision and under your guidance. We love you. We praise you. Bless the children. Bless those that are suffering. Bless even those that are going through the coronavirus right now, God. We ask for speedy healing. We ask you to find a cure and bring it quickly, Father, throughout this world. In Jesus' name, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I went to a class a few years ago called Battlefields of the Mind at Mount Carmel International Church, and sometimes, and always before the preparation for me, and it's always when I'm talking to God, I'm lately in this season for me, I'm feeling his massaging hands massage me where I'm dull, where I'm not, where the muscles are not working, the spiritual things are not working correctly. I feel God, I feel his hands
on my life. I feel him more than I've ever felt him before, and I am so thankful. It's almost like he's there saying, son, it's only for the moment. Son, I am right here. Your tears, just let them out. Your laughter, be free in it. Your pain will be gone in tomorrow. Any illness or disease, you're already delivered. You know, he talks to me like that, and I believe he's saying to me, don't fret. Have faith in me and watch the outcome. Tonight we're going to talk about a man who walked with God, a man who God trusted in a time of evil, in a time that God was fed up. But in time that God was fed up, there was one person that God trusted and talked to, and because he was obedient, God was able to use him. A man when we discuss what he did, Christ, we're going to get an understanding that even our personal walk with God takes work. Amen. We got to get to that understanding that when you walk upright for God, it's going to take some work. We got to understand that it's not always going to be easy. The enemy is just not going to let you flow freely. That's just his job. But God, our job is to have faith in God. Our job is to worship and praise God and believe and trust and know without a shadow of a doubt that God has us. He will never let us fall. He will never let us be ashamed. He will never let us look foolish. Amen. So I'm going to read a few things. I do have scripture, and I will give them to you as we go along. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Once again, I'd just like to thank all our listeners. We really do appreciate you, and I don't say it enough, but we have so many surprises coming. And one surprise that I want to share immediately is Apostle Carolyn McNeil will be joining the cast, I think, on Wednesday evenings. I don't have a time, but I did get her word, an email saying that she is going to, she is signed on for Wednesday. That is a yes, you know, that is a yes. She will join. She is coming aboard. So we will also have a Power Praise. Like I said, I know it's on Wednesdays, and I'll get the time for you and everything. And please fellowship with her. Please, oh, wonderful, wonderful teacher, wonderful woman of God, wonderful prophetess. And I'm not just saying that because I know her. I'm saying it because I've seen the power and the evidence manifest itself in different places at different times. And I've seen the right on point, even with strangers. So I always say this, let's not listen. Don't worry about the messenger. Listen to the message. And I'm telling you, wonderful, powerful woman of God. We can learn a lot. We could be preached to. We could be taught so many classes. Author, volunteer, just a wonderful person, a wonderful, godly characters. Amen. And those are the kind of people that we want to come aboard MCI Ministry Radio. Amen. And we're going to go back into that a little later. But I just want to welcome Apostle Carolyn McNeil aboard. Amen. And we just want to thank her for coming. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're talking about Noah, and we're going to talk about God's attributes are easily traced throughout the story in the Bible. Amen. He is so merciful. Amen. He is faithful, he is just, and he is holy. But God is richly, and he's also complex. And there is more to his character than we recognize. See, we come to know God in new ways. When he reveals himself to us, as we walk with him, as we fellowship with him, as we walk by faith with him, amen. But the Bible tells me that Noah knew a bit about God's character also. Though Noah did not have God's written word as we know it today to lead him through challenging circumstances, Noah was able to take what he did know about God and walk with him. Now, Noah didn't even have a word. But what he did know, he took that bit and walked with God and trust God. We have the word. We have the ability to pray to God. We have the ability to fellowship. We have the ability to go into the heavenly realms. We have the Holy Spirit to fall upon us. We have no excuse not to know God on a higher plane. Amen. And for those of us that's new into the kingdom, we take baby steps, but God will show you and he will move in you. And that will be the evidence that he's real. That will be the evidence that you know that I'm here with you and I have you. God will talk to each and every one of us in his own special way. Amen. But Noah, he didn't even have the things we have, the internet, the Bible, this information. He just knew and walked with God. Amen. Because in Noah's day, everyone had turned away from God. Whew. And I see some of that today. And I'm not seeing everyone, but a lot of people are turning from God. Some people, God becomes social media. We got all these Instagram, Johnny Graham, Tommy Graham, all these Grahams, but they don't add up to nothing. But we've turned away from God. We don't even want to go to the church building no more. We don't want to go where God has set up for us to go fellowship one with another, for us to go get preached to, for us to go get taught, for us to go worship and praise God. Yeah, it's a building, but God is in that building waiting for us. See, a lot of times God is in the building waiting to give you information on your prayers, the things that you've been fasting for. That's why the church is open. When we come one to another, we can look at the brother, look at the sister, and see who's struggling, who's going through what, and we can celebrate in the Holy Spirit together. We have to do this together. The building is there, and it's elegant, and it's all the lights and the chairs, everything, but if the Holy Spirit ain't there, you have nothing. And we done got to the point now, we just want to sit on the couch, we want to sit on the recliner, I'll send my tithe to T.D. Jakes, I'll send my tithe to somebody else, I'll just sit here, once I get a word, once I hear what I want to hear, that's enough for me, I'm going back to doing what I want to do. No, you got a lifestyle. We have a lifestyle to live. Amen? We have a lifestyle. Amen. The earth at that time was so corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with so much violence. And we see that now in various cities, some city you might live in. I know I look at the news early in the morning. It's always violence. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, because I want to back up what I'm saying with the word. Amen. Genesis 6. Amen. Chapter 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. We're walking in some of the same times, but what are we going to do to try to make it better? We can sit and complain, like, oh my God, they're just killing and killing, they're doing this and they're doing that, but are we praying? Are we fellowshipping? Are we coming together, holding hands, come together, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 together, holding hands, praising God, praying together? Pray that evil spirit out your city. Pray that evil spirit out your home. Pray that evilness out your mind. Pray it out of our hearts. We got to come together and unify the power that God has put in each and every one of us and have the world know that God is still in charge. The world ain't seeing God no more like it used to do. The world is just doing whatever the world wants to do. Men wearing dresses, their pants hanging down, the women cutting their hair all off. It's just so much chaos. But nobody, we're all complaining. We're all pointing fingers. We're all saying this and that. But are we doing what the Bible say, coming together and praying one with another? It's power in prayer. Some things only come through prayer and fasting. So we come together and fast and pray. There come power. But if you don't have the faith to believe in what you're praying and fasting for, it's just a waste of time. We got to trust God even more now. Amen? Because the effects of sinfulness, it bombarded Noah's culture. It's bombarding our culture. It just didn't do it in the time of Noah. It's violence is bombarding our culture. It's cool to be a thug. It's cool to be a goon. It's cool to have two guns and no brain. You're just shooting people, and then when you get locked up, you sit somewhere crying. You're killing innocent kids. You're killing innocent people. We got to come together and walk these pavements. We got to wherever your feet. Remember last week we talked about our feet. We are holy ground. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Where we go, it becomes holy ground. We walk in the power of the Lord. We can make things change if we believe and trust in the word of God. Do we really trust God, or we just say that because I'm a member of this church, or I'm a member of that church, or I got that title? I can say all these things, but how am I walking? How am I believing? How am I trusting in the Almighty God? Even when he tells me to do something that sounds so crazy and so like, what is that? That makes no sense, God, but it makes sense to God because he already got it planned out. We just need to listen and be obedient. Amen. Hallelujah. The effects of sinfulness has bombarded our culture as well as it bombarded Noah's culture. Amen. The wickedness on earth was so great. Now listen, it was so great that the Lord was grieved that he had ever made us. He grieved that he had ever made people. And the world is so full of violence and sinfulness and nastiness and corruption. Today, there's a possibility that he's just lining it up. Will you be his next Noah? Will we be the next Noah if he decides to change the world? Well, if he come back this time, it ain't gonna be no next Noah. He's just finished with us. But there's a group of us who can come together and plead with the Father. Plead with the Father. Father, they know not what they do. Forgive them. Give them another chance. Give us a chance to fix this great world that you created. All this beautiful stuff that you created. The Bible says everything that God created was good. So it's up to us to bring the goodness back to where the enemy has put evil. And we have to start with the minds of the people. We have to start with the minds of ourselves. We have to start with our own soul. We have to start with our own heart. We have to start with our own tongues. Because some of us, our tongues is so vicious and nasty, it could tear a person apart, but yet and still we say we holy and we want to raise up holy hands, but our tongue just tearing down God's people, backbiting each other, jealous of each other. For what? Whatever God has for you is for you, and whatever God has for me is for me. I'm not, but I will celebrate you in your blessing, in your time of joy and happiness. When the Lord moves with you, I want to be there to celebrate. When you're down, I want to be the one there praying for you. I want to be the one that's laying hands on you, saying, God had put power in me to put back in you whatever it is you lost. But because we don't want to serve the Lord the right way and love on our brothers and sisters because we're so worried about the title. Oh, ain't nobody seen me do that. So the hidden things. See, can God trust you to keep, to use you and give him the glory? Or will you try to steal it? Or you walking around with a new cape with a cross on it, you holy man all of a sudden. You holy woman all of a sudden. God is still in charge. We're not going to the throne seeking information. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord was grieved that he had ever made people. Yet Noah was an exception. I want to be that exception. Noah was an exception. Noah lived a righteous life when everyone else had turned against God. And God approved of him. Noah was perfect and just, setting his path apart from the rest of his culture. Are we setting ourselves apart from the worldly ways? Are we really setting ourselves apart to be kingdom builders, kingdom-minded, worshipers and prayers and healers and deliverers and operating in the way? God and the faith of God, or are we just doing it on Sundays and Wednesday nights, and then we right back with the world, letting them turn our minds, change our ways? We have to change from our wicked ways. Oh, God, my people, we know the word. Y'all know that scripture. We say we his people. Turn from our wicked ways. We just read. He was so upset. God was so upset. He grieved that he had even ever made us. Listen, hallelujah, glory to God. Noah was perfect and just, setting his path apart from the rest of his culture. Noah proved that it is possible to walk with God regardless of any and all evil society influence. Genesis 6:9 backs that up. Amen. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Amen. And a perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. He didn't walk with T-Bone. He didn't walk with Jitterbug. He didn't walk with Junebug. He didn't walk with Caldonia. He didn't walk with all them people. He walked with God because his influence came from God. He mimicked God. He loved the way Jesus loved. He talked the way Jesus talked. He trusted and believed in Jesus. Not the corruptness of this world and of the people of this world. We have to understand God created this for us to have dominion over, to laugh. We were supposed to run around playing with lions and tigers. It wasn't no vicious animal. And all. We were supposed to just be, just frolicking through the flowers, just praising God, saying, oh, holy, 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 thank you, Father. Oh, thank you for the beautiful flowers. Thank you for the joy. Thank you. We wouldn't even know what evil was. But we had to go back to Cain and Abel, the first murder. We had to go back to Adam and Eve, the first sin. What are we going to do now? Right now, as a man and woman of God, what will be the change in our lifestyle and our behavior and our studying and our prayer life and our worship and stuff? What will be the change that God can say, that is a just woman of God, that is a just man of God, that is a just child, that I can use them to build my army up through them and with them? He's still in the buildings. God is going through the earth back and forth trying to find somebody I can trust and build and use to show off through, to show the enemy, oh, you really ain't in charge. But every time I pick somebody, they either want to steal my glory, they wavy, they get fearful. Oh, I didn't know you had to do that. I got to sacrifice this. I got to give all this up. I don't think I want to do that, God. But it was good when everything was wonderful and he was giving and blessing and keeping your health and taking away the diseases and renewing your mind and bringing you back to life and making sure you had more than enough. It was wonderful. But now I need you for me. And what if I need you for me and I'd had to take some of them things away from you so you can see once again it's me. I'm calling you because you done took the focus off of me looking at the stuff, trying to be like this one and trying to be like that one. We forget about trying to be like Christ. I need to be Christ-like because I'm a heathen. I'm a sinner on a daily basis. The Bible tells me that. I fall daily. I'm speaking about me now. I need more Jesus. I need more godly people to influence me, but I don't need hypocrite-type people. I need those that's walking upright that can speak into my life, that can tell me the difference between what I'm doing wrong and what the Bible says. Is it me or is it God's word? Is it my chest pumped up or if I'm giving the glory to God? Can I give the glory to God when nobody knows what happened? Can God use me to walk into a building, lay hands on the whole, everybody in it, and give him the glory? Nobody never knew it was me. Because it's not me. It's the body that God is using, and he's doing it through me. Are we going to let him use us? Or are we going to continue to try to use him? Hallelujah. We have to understand a walk with God takes work. When God commanded Noah to build the ark, guess what? Noah obeyed. He just obeyed. Didn't have no question. He obeyed. We do not know even if Noah was skilled in carpentry. We don't know if he knew how to use a screwdriver. We don't even know if he knew how to use a hammer. We don't even know if he knew what a nail was. Or if he ever seen a bug. But we do know how difficult it may have been to gather every beast after its kind. Can you imagine? You know nothing, but you know God is real, and he's been talking to you, and he's been fellowshipping with you, and you and him been just having a good old time, and he stops to you and say, listen, I need you to go cook at every animal, two of them, each one, a male and a female. I just need you to go everything, and I need you to line them up, get them ready. I want you to build this ark, because I'm about to tear this world up. Would you really think God is talking to you? Because sometimes things seem so far-fetched, we don't believe it's God. But if you have that correct relationship with him, as you say you have, you know when God is talking to you. Because when you pray and ask for things, you hear when he responds. You know when that manifestation comes. You know when that blessing comes. You, oh, so much power. Oh, Lord, Lord, Jesus. We done flipped, we done shouted so much we done hurt ourselves. But when he's not there blessing the material things, but he's trying to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for the future or for the next move in the kingdom, oh, I don't need all that. That takes too much. I got to study. I got to stay up all night. I got to get up in the morning. I got to pray. I got to fellowship. Then I got to go down to the church, open up the church for them. And they ain't made me, nobody ain't going to come. Now I'm standing down there by myself. That's the wrong mentality, and it's the wrong attitude, and it's the wrong way to think. If that is what God is saying for us to do, I don't care if nobody shows. I'm going, I'm going to open the door, and I'm going to walk the floor and say, Lord, you called me to do this for a reason. Spend more time with me. I'm going to be selfish right now. I get all your glory. I sit here and let you just swallow all over me. Melt on me, Jesus. Melt everything I need and destroy. Put so much heat on me that everything that's not like you will be destroyed. And everything new you want me to have shall fall upon me. Because I want to be with the Lord. I want him to call my name. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Matthew. I say it because I want him to call my name. I want to be used. See, and he would say, you better be careful what you say, because guess what? He's going to use you one day, and the enemy's going to come at you. I already know. God already know. But if he used me, guess what? He has to prepare me. He's building character. He's not going to let nothing happen if he's preparing to use me. You think he's going to prepare to use you and let something happen to you? No. Amen. Glory to God. Chapter 7, verse 14, read in the book of Genesis, if you go with me, please. Chapter 7, verse 14, it says, they and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and every fowl after its kind, every bird after its every sort. Noah. We don't even know if he knew how to do these things, but guess what? He trusted and said everything God said. Okay, I'm going to go get him. Noah had many tasks to accomplish that were not glamorous. Oh, that's a word I like. Oh, if it ain't glamorous, then we ain't going to do it. If I can't put on a suit and tie, new shoes, new car, and ride around the city, I'm pastor so-and-so, I ain't going to. Well, God say, put on some jeans, some old raggedy boots, go down to the bridge and help them shovel. I need you to go down there by the shelter, and I need you to give out food. I need you to move them boxes. I need you to help them paint the wall. That ain't God. That's too much like that. How you going to tell God what ain't God? See, I've learned if I do the things that God say do, the way God say do, I'm building a relationship. Because guess what? I'm being obedient. I'm listening. Guess what? He'll continue to talk to me. He'll continue to give me instruction. He'll continue to direct my path. He'll continue to allow me to lean on him. He'll continue to hear my cries. He'll continue to hear my prayers, because guess what? Anything, big or small, glamorous or not, I listen and I obey and do it the way God says do it. Amen? Hallelujah. That word, it just did that, glamorous or particularly edifying. But guess what? Noah had a profound desire to carry out what God had called him to do. Now, I like that, because a lot of us say God has called me to go to nations. God has called me to preach the gospel. God has called me to prophesy. God has called me to lay hands on the sick. God has called me to lay hands on the dead. And you can't even go in a room when she's blood without throwing up or fainting. So we got to understand our calling. Stop saying God called you to do something if he ain't called you to do it, because you can hinder yourself and other people just because it sounds glamorous and it sounds good and you want that title. But if God has not called you to do that, you become a liar and a hypocrite. Yes. Hallelujah. If God has not called you to do something, stop saying God said. Do you think he's pleased with that? Because a lot of times we can have, I learned this from T.D. Jakes, we can have a desire and we can have a gift. Now, my desire might be able to sing, but my gift is I can't sing. I have a desire to sing, but that ain't my gift. So I leave it alone. I get that lane. But it is a desire. I just can't do it. So don't say God called you to prophesy and that's your gift. That's your desire. You know, made up fake tongues. You know, start mimicking somebody's tongues. You don't heard it enough. You keep replaying the record and you start saying that. You don't even know what you're saying. You think God is pleased with that? God made us all individually. He got a job for each and every one of us, but we have to be in line. We are a spiritual assembly line. Everybody has something to do in each and every city, each and every household, each and every church. Wherever you go, we have something to do. If you ever notice when two or three or four or five, how many Christians in the same place, you ever notice when they true Christians, they see each other, they start locking onto each other, and all of a sudden what was falling apart, everything that wasn't going right, all of a sudden, hallelujah, sister, girl, I knew when you came in here, I just felt your glory when you came in here. Oh, look, the kid done got well, because they're working together in the spirit realm. Not natural realm. We're working together in the spirit realm. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Noah had a profound desire to carry out what God had called him to do. He simply did. It's basic. He simply did as the Lord commanded and relied on God's blueprint. He relied on God's blueprint, not his own. He didn't make up his own. He relied on God's blueprint to do what? To complete the task. Now, hear it out now. Hear me out. His heart was not swayed toward the evils of the world, but remained steadfast toward God. What a great tribute it would be for us to be known as people who walked with God. We too live in a descended world, a decaying world. Evil is still in our midst. But fortunately, we are not alone. We are surrounded by sincere brothers and sisters in Christ who, like Noah, are walking with God day by day. I know we're out. I know there's some sin brothers and sisters walking with God day by day, preaching and praying and fasting and begging and talking to God, asking for instructions, waiting for instructions. But they're on the battlefield. They're on the battlefield. They're on the battlefield. They're sacrificing. They're just being obedient. They're not going to the shows. They're not wearing the finest clothes. They're not going to the big restaurant. They're not having dinner out every week. They're somewhere getting by the Holy Ghost. There's some place spending time with God. We're running around trying to go to the most fabulous restaurant with crystal glasses, putting your napkin on your lap, and when the check comes, you realize, because God ain't tell you to go there. Listen, it ain't about being flamboyant. God has a time for all that. His work comes first. Now, if he assigned you to go to this place to have a meal, believe it or not, most of the time there's a fellowship involved and there's someone in there. When you get to talking, they come to your table and say, I don't mean no harm, but I overheard you say something and I really needed to hear that today, because the spiritual, God has he has the whole environment open. So when two spiritual people are speaking, his word goes out to the atmosphere, and that person is sitting at the table suffering. That person is sitting contemplating suicide. That person is sitting there ready to go to the bank and take all their money out and do something foolish. That person there that's crying and grieving and nobody knows because they always got a smile on their face. They heard you say something that was impacting to them, and because it was connected to God, came straight from God, it hit their spirit. It led them from where they were sitting all the way to you. And they say, I needed to hear that today. Thank you. Right then and there, God got glory. Right then and there, the glory goes to God. Hallelujah. Can I pray with you, sister? Can I pray with you, brother? Can I invite you to come to the church? What's your name? Do you want a fellowship? Do you want my phone number? You can call me anytime. I know you might be out right now, but we don't do that. We get right with each other, and we get to talking nonsense. That's why nobody's hearing us. Nobody's hearing us but us. We got to remember who we are and who we represent at all times, women of God, men of God, and children of God. Amen. We always have to. I'm not saying we walk around holding thou with the Bible on that and tight. I'm not saying that. But we got to remember they're watching us. We got to remember that we're always on assignment. We got to remember to keep our spiritual ear open because God is speaking. God might want you to do something, but if we come yakety, 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 we're not hearing. Amen. And some of us don't want to hear because they know it's a task attached to it. And right now I'm in my comfort zone and I'm enjoying myself and I don't want to do it, Lord. Can I do it after I eat? Can I do it later? But that's not the way God operates. When he speaks, we should obey at all times, in the middle of the night, early in the morning, wherever we may be. Amen. Amen. Noah remained steadfast toward God. That was a great tribute to him. He walked with God. And we also can walk with God. We also can do that because evil is still amongst us. Amen. We are surrounded by sincere brothers and sisters, and I know we are. Amen. We are walking with God day by day. Amen. Glory to God. And I thank you, Jesus. Yet, the walk is not an easy one. And I want to say the reason it's not an easy one, and I need us to understand this, because temptation is everywhere. And if I may speak about me, before I got saved, it didn't take a lot to influence me. If you were doing wrong, that was enough. If you was out all night, that was enough. If you was doing something you had no business, that was enough. If you was smoking the best weed, drinking the best alcohol, it didn't have to be the best. It could be Old English, it could be anything. But if you was getting drunk, acting a fool, doing things you had no business, robbing, stealing, conniving, it was okay because I gravitated to that. Amen. I gravitated to those things of the world. And that was, it wasn't even temptation then. It was just a lifestyle. But as you get saved, and as I got saved, the temptation started coming back. You know, you get in the church and you start reading the Bible, you're trying to pray. All of a sudden somebody knock on the door that you ain't seen in a long time. Hey, how you doing, good buddy? Hey man, I've been talking about, I've been thinking about you. Now, in the spiritual world, you know, we always say, my brother, you know, you was in my spirit. But the world say, man, I was just thinking about you. What you about to do? You want to take a ride with me? Now, I never asked, where we going? I don't discern that this person about to take me somewhere that I know I ain't got no business. But because I was so attached to that, the temptation was so easily and the influence was so easy for me to draw to that, I did it. And it wasn't until I realized that God had told me, if you don't have a destination, why are you going? When you get up in the middle of the night, if I'm going to Philadelphia, why are you going to Philadelphia if you don't have a destination? You just want to go there? You're not going to the zoo. You're not going to visit family. What are you really going for? There's something there. And listen, God is pulling me there or leading me there. Why am I going? Why am I going to New York? I love it. That's why. You see what I'm saying? So it becomes my flesh and my wants over what God wants. And it's a lot of temptation. Those who gamble, you know, every time you go by the casino, every time the lottery number come on, you get to shaking, you get to sweating. You got to leave the room, you got to turn the TV off. As soon as you see the lottery number, oh, I was going to play that number. You get to talk to the TV. If you eat a lot, every time a commercial come on, you see food, you got to run to the refrigerator to get something. And this is not to be disrespectful to no wife. This is what we do. Temptation is all around us. We have to feel, we have to know the difference. You know, I always say this. I watched a movie called The Temptations. And I remember the scene where they was getting their names, and they were sitting outside with all these different names. And when they came up with the name, The Temptations. And they was getting ready to go in the room. And the guy, Paul, said, listen, let us pray, because I don't want to leave no room open for us not to make this. Even in the world, he had enough sense to say prayer works. And it works. And when I looked at their name, after they went everything to get that name, Temptations, and they all had one. Paul, who didn't drink, but he hung around David enough. He started drinking. It became his disease. It became the thing that killed him. David was just David. He was already there. He just was slick. He had all these little wicked things. It killed him. The one of them was a womanizer. The other one had body things going on with his body. But it was temptation that drew all of them together, and it was temptation that separated them all. Amen. That word temptation is a strong thing. You have to know the things that tempt you. And you have to be sincere and know that that is tempting. If you're a womanizer and you like women and you see women and you know, oh, Lord, and you just done forgot everything you're doing and you following around the store and you looking at her and you just see all these thoughts and you home and you still think about all those things. Same thing with women. Women, you like muscles, you like bald head men, you like fat men, whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Temptation is temptation. We have to fight it on a daily basis to be successful in walking with God. Because the enemy, if when you're walking with God, the enemy got to put temptation before you. I can't allow you to go where I know you're going in Christ. He can't allow you to make that hurdle. He can't allow you. It's like a relay. Once you hurdle, you jump that hurdle. You pass the baton to your brother. You pass the baton to your sister. They get saved. They get delivered. They get empowered. They get back. They pass the baton to somebody else. And it's just a relay run. It's a relay run. It's a relay run. But how many times we passed in the last season? You don't have to answer to me. It's between you and God. Amen. Glory to his magnificent name. Amen. I'm not going to play a lot of stop this lesson tonight and play a lot of music. I'm hoping it's okay with you guys, because I want us to get to the point of fellowshipping and talking and encouraging. Like I said, before this month is out, we'll be taking calls and we'll be able to fellowship with each other. We'll be able to ask questions, but please, please don't call here trying to badger nobody. Please don't call here gossiping about nobody. Please, we're going to uplift whoever. We're going to fellowship with each other. We're going to cry together. We're going to laugh together. And we're definitely going to serve the Lord together. This is what this is, a ministry. And that is the foundation of this, for us to come together, encourage one another, strengthen one another, to be able to go out in the battlefield for somebody else. Amen. So I apologize for not playing a lot of music tonight, but I just want to talk to my people, because I feel y'all on Monday. Listen, I feel you. Like, me and First Lady be talking, and she like, are you just excited about that? Because the Holy Ghost comes on me and lets me know, son, do your assignment. Yeah, you want to watch North Carolina and Duke. Yeah, you want to watch the game tonight, but do my work first and watch what happens. The game will be peaceful. You better watch the game peaceful. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Amen. I really do. Temptations are everywhere. Ridicule and unbelief are common. Amen. It is so common. This should not surprise us, though, because Peter warned that there shall come in the last days walking after their own, scoffers walking after their own lust. And I have scripture to back it up, 2 Peter 3:3. Please go there with me. 2 Peter, amen. I always want to back things up with scripture. Amen. It's not about me, something I made up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Amen. Knowing, I'm going to start at the first verse. This second epistle, beloved, I know right, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Amen. Glory to God. After their own lust. And we see so much. We see so much different things going on, people just doing what they want to do. It's cool now to wear dresses as a man. It's cool now to don't comb your hair. I mean, it's little stuff like that. It may not mean nothing, but it's taking so much away from character. It takes so much away from you. Amen. When we do that, are we following God's command, or are we following and the things of the world and doing what they want to do, what we want to do? Amen. Hallelujah. What is a scoffer? Well, we're going to find out. Amen. I'm going to make sure, because I have it written on a piece of paper here. I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm with you guys in church right now. I just feel like we're just sitting in the pulpit, and nobody's actually in the pulpit. We're just all sitting in the pews, fellowshipping one with another, having a discussion. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Scoffer is a noun. Implied behaving with scornful disapproval towards someone or about something. Is to express insolent doubt or diversion openly and empathetically. Empathetically. So you just evilness. Amen. Just trifling. If I could say it that way without hurting anybody's feelings. Trifling. We know what that word means. I heard it a lot of times growing up. Boy, you just trifling. You won't clean your room. You won't comb your hair. You won't do nothing. You're trifling. It always meant nasty. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Peter goes on to remind all of us, believers, listen, and non-believers, not just the believers, that in centuries past, the same thing happened. Many people probably scoffed it at Noah. The coming destruction seemed impossible, so nobody believed it. Nobody listened. They just laughed at him and just kept on doing what they wanted to do. They did what they wanted to do. As time passed and nothing happened, Noah's critics had more reason to justify their unbelief. Ain't nothing happened. He just talking. He talking about God going to do this and God going to do that. But how many know God had a plan and God had his own time for when he was getting ready to make that move? He made it. And we just kept on, and that's what people want to do. They just keep on doing what they want to do because they don't believe. They think it's okay. You know, oh, they're just talking. That's them Christian people. That's them church folk. They think they know everything. They ain't coming back. We in hell right here on earth already. I already know where I'm going. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when it hits and you start seeing the destruction, ain't it amazing how people want to run to the church? They want to bang and kick your door down. Please, please, I don't know why. See, you shouldn't run to me. Now the time you fall on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. I'm just going to keep it real with you right there. Amen. But God's judgment did not happen. God finally told Noah the rain would come in another 7 days. But in obedience to God, Noah collected his family and the animals and got on board the ark. Amen. And after the 7 days, when the water came, God himself shut him in. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 16. I keep telling you, I can't do it without the word. Amen. Hallelujah. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. He didn't have to worry about nothing. Wasn't nothing going to come to destroy what God had put together. God put them in and shut them in because here comes the storm. Everybody, I warned you, and I had my disciples warned you. They called out to you, tried to get you to repent, tried to get you to change your ways, tried to get you to turn from your wicked ways. Now it's too late. And before it gets too late, I want to be somebody that God said did all I told him to do. I want to be like the guy on the horse. The rebels are coming. The rebels are coming. I want to be like him. Paul Revere. I want to be like him. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Repent. Jesus is coming. Please repent. Meet us at the church 4 o'clock this day. Jesus is coming. I don't know when, but he's coming because I know he's coming because he told me he's coming. You see what I'm saying? We got to take it to the extremes now. We got to take serving God to the extremes now. Amen. Glory to God. He shut them in. Noah and his family and the animals sat safely inside the ark that Noah had obediently built. But it was too late for those on the outside. It was too late for those on the outside because the rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. The water rose. Those on the outside entered a watery grave that was an entrance to an eternity without God. In a very tragic scene, humanity missed the boat, and God started over with one man, his wife, their three sons, and their wives. Now listen, I don't want no one to miss the boat. Pray with me that no one miss the boat when God prepares to come back. Pray with me that no one miss the boat and die and go to hell. Pray with me, touch and agree with me, that nobody miss the boat and miss out on a blessing. That nobody miss the boat and miss their healing. That they don't miss their deliverance. That they don't miss what God has for them to be. We got to get out and make sure no one misses the boat. Amen? We got to go and make sure all that is lost don't miss the boat. Those who backslidden don't miss the boat. Those of us who aren't walking right and know it don't miss the boat. Those of us in leadership got to get out and make sure the lost, the deprived, the hurt, the pain, the struggling, that they don't miss the boat. They waiting on us. Like somebody prayed for us, we got to pray, sacrifice for somebody else. We got to have on the vest when you're in water and you have to put that vest on so you float. We got to start walking around with many of them because we don't want nobody to drown. A water preserve. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Jesus. Water preserve. We want to make sure nobody drowns and nobody missed the boat of glory. Nobody missed the boat of peace. Nobody missed the boat of happiness. Nobody misses the boat of joy. Nobody misses the boat of love. Nobody misses the boat of Christ Jesus. We want to make sure nobody missed the boat. Hallelujah. They families faithfully stayed aboard. They didn't peek out the window. They didn't try to jump and go back to see their sinful friends. They didn't try to go back to the hood. They didn't try to come back. Nope, they was all obedient. Noah is listed in the book of Hebrews as one of the great Old Testament heroes of faith. Not just a hero, but a hero of faith. And after reminding us that it is impossible to please God without faith, the author of the book of Hebrews cites Noah as a great example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Go with me. I got scripture. Hebrews 11:7. Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 11:7. Yes, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11:7. Glory to your name, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hebrews 11:7. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commanded the world, condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. How many of us is going to save our households? How many of us are going to be obedient and operate in faith? How many of us, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. How many, amen? Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews, just remember, Noah did not build the ark in one day. He got out of bed each morning, ready to meet the challenge that each day presented. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Face the challenge, no matter what it seems like. Go through it and trust God. But because of his faith in God, he accomplished God's will for his family and for generations to come. Because when we decide to walk with God, we may experience hardship and trials of many kinds. We cannot totally escape the consequences of living in a fallen, depraved world. But Noah became our example when we feel we are sailing with God into these uncharted waters, as Noah lived a high, righteous, and blameless life in the midst of his wicked world. So we must be faithful in our walk with God as we encounter daily challenges and temptations. Peter urges us to be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. 2 Peter 3:14, in the power of God's Spirit. Noah did it in the power of that same Spirit, and so can we. So can we, ladies and gentlemen. So can we. Tonight, we realize we're not going to allow anyone to miss the boat. We're going to continue to walk in faith, no matter what it seems like, no matter what it feels like. In this wicked world, we're going to stand for Christ. We're going to stand for everything Christ stands for. We're going to trust and believe and know that Jesus did not die on that cross so we can get caught up in the midst of this madness in this world. We're going to allow God to elevate our spirits, to elevate our mind, to elevate the love in us for mankind, those of our enemies, those who we don't know. But we're going to ask God to show us how to bring to people into the boat. Once again, we don't want anyone to miss the boat. I want to thank everyone for this evening who participated and came aboard the ministry tonight and came aboard and went on this journey with us and realized that we still have assignments to do and realize that for us to be successful, we have to walk in faith and trust God even when temptations come, even when trials and tribulations come. We have to trust in God, walk with God, believe in God, and we got to understand we are not of this world. We are the ones that God is elevating to show the world a new way of life, to show the world that God is real, even when they don't believe and don't see, but they should see through our lives and see through our walk and know that everything that we say, when we talk about the Lord, we talk about the Lord in joy. We are so believable that the Spirit of God just falls right there in the midst of the conversation and something happens to the non-believer. There's a change in the non-believer. When our presence is anywhere, there should be a change in the atmosphere. There should be no doubt. There should be love. There should be no anger. There should be love. They should be manifestation of every great thing that God has put in us. We should be able to speak a thing into existence. But we first got to trust God and allow God to activate that power and give him glory in the midst of doing so. This has been your Fix It 6ix9ine. I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I would like to take this time to pray us out. And once again, thank everybody. With the love of the Lord, with the joy of the Lord, with the peace of the Lord, go home. And I pray that the Lord rest upon your heart, rest upon your home, rest upon your spirit on tonight, that he will come and do a new thing. That thing that lines up with his will for our lives, that he will show himself still magnificent, still mighty, still powerful, still beautiful, still the great I am, Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this assignment. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your airways. We thank you for the breath that we breathe. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died so we may live and have everlasting life, that we will sit on the right hand of the throne and praise you on a daily basis. God, we just thank you. Bless the home of our listeners. Bless their heart. If they're in any need, God, grant them a spiritual reward of just, a spiritual reward of peace, understanding, a piece of you on tonight, God. Drop off a piece of you throughout the nations tonight. Let the world rejoice in the name of Christ Jesus for no other reason than you being Christ Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that everyone have a blessed and peaceful evening. In Jesus' mighty name, good night. Hallelujah.